everything just clicked. And it was like, yes, your words have energy. Like, we know this. We know. We can feel when you say, I hate you versus I love you. You can feel the weight that each phrase carries. And so I started being really mindful about my language. It started with my thoughts. So, like, in the morning, I would start off like, I am powerful. I am brave. I am beautiful. And that felt so unnatural at first, until it doesn't.
That was Lexi, creator and founder of the Why She Whistles platform. Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Live Your Raw Life podcast. Welcome to the platform where the intention is to help you live your rich, authentically aligned, wholesome life. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Watkins. Together, let's raise our vibrations and awareness in order for you to live the raw life that was meant for you. Lexi is niece to my husband, Isaac, so I have known her since she was 5. I have vivid images of her running around her Mima and Bapa's house, playing on the earth, digging in the dirt for worms, finding snakes and frogs, just always a lover of the natural world. I do remember one time when she was about 6, we were at one of Isaac's friends' houses and he had a corn snake, and Lexi just held that snake like it was a furry little kitten and found out quickly my uneasiness around snakes and started chasing me around with it. It was so hilarious, this grown adult running away from this little girl with a snake. So many fun memories, and it's been incredible to watch Lexi grow up and develop into the person that she is today. It is nothing short of admirable what she has been through, and I am just so grateful to have you here in person and looking forward to introducing you and your platform to the listeners of the Live Your Raw Life community. So with that, welcome to the show, Lexi.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. This is so exciting that we actually get to be in person in Colorado. I'm here visiting and possibly making an adventure here for the next step in my life. But thank you. I am the creator of Why She Whistles, which is my positivity platform, and I am a certified law of attraction practitioner and positive vibration coach. So everything I do is just increasing the positivity in your inner world, and that reflects into the outer world. So it all began a little bit inward with myself, and I'm sure you have some questions about that.
Yes, super exciting. We love having you here. I love seeing you in the mountains. You definitely fit this space really, really well. And I think the community too, especially here on the Front Range near Boulder, it just feels so, I can just see the energy shifting, and it'll be exciting to see what is the next leg in the journey for you, for sure. Now, you really have this sparkly, glittery, vibrant personality, and it just, like, radiates from you. And it's really hard. If someone was in a pissy mood, I think it would be really hard to maintain that pissy mood. Even though that's how you are now, you know, and I think that this happens in life, is that it's not always where you were. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But if you could just maybe kind of briefly give our listeners, you know, what your journey has kind of looked like in this lifetime so far. I mean, you are an old soul, which is very clear, but you are very young. I mean, you are only 23. So share a little bit in that short 23-year span, what life has kind of looked like, and maybe a little bit about your background.
So, love to look at the contrast of things, and so we'll start with the contrast that was my hometown in high school. I lived in a very small, conservative town, and this, like, made it very evident to me that I was going to be sent on another path, because my hometown wasn't very accepting of holistic health or energy work or the type of mindset hacks that I like to talk about. Everything that was going on in my inner world was kind of shut down based on how I would need to be accepted in my high school, in my hometown. So it started with that contrast of like, oh, this, it's like I was a fish out of water in this place. And so I went through a lot of the inner journey of trying to figure out like my own health and my own wellness and my own happiness. And it was very apparent that I was not happy in my hometown, where I couldn't just be myself. And this came with some nutrition battles where in my hometown it's like steak and potatoes and, you know, it was packaged food and just not vibrant. There wasn't a lot of vibrance. And so I had to do my own research into what that would look like. But until I got to that point, I developed an eating disorder because of stress and because I wasn't nutritionally satisfied. Like, I was binge eating because of emotions and then getting rid of it by purging. And this was a whole, like, spin in my head of like, I know that this isn't health, this isn't how I should be eating, this isn't what my body wants, this isn't how I should be feeling. And finally, after figuring out I was diagnosed anxiety and diagnosed depression, and I was supposed to take these pills. Now, I went to the doctor for help, and I was supposed to take Xanax and Zoloft, like two heavy, hard drugs, and I'm an eighth grader at this point, and I just want to feel better. And I started taking those drugs for about a month, and I realized that I was in a complete cloud. And this is one of my health catalysts, is like taking these drugs, fully knowing that I didn't want to be on them for the rest of my life, and deciding that I needed to heal myself from the inside out, and that it would take a long-term journey to health and happiness and holistic wellness to get there. So I, after that month of those hard drugs, I stopped them, maybe against my doctor's orders, but I've never been quite a rule follower. So I started doing all of this self-research and a lot of journaling, a lot of diving into my own mindset, and that kind of is where my holistic health journey begins, in that really crazy, chaotic box that I was put in, like the box that is school, that you're supposed to be contained into. I realized that I didn't fit into that box, and so that would send me on this like soul journey outward and away and to find bigger and better and happier things.
You have shared, I really appreciate like the rawness and this. You summed up your story about your eating disorder in a very simple way. And eating disorders are not simple. They're not easy. They're not a quick fix. And that's one thing that I really admire about watching your growth, is you had this wherewithal and this awareness that there was something more, that there was something different, that there was another way to not only maybe overcome, but then to also move past and live with. You know, I think people get caught in that perpetual cycle where they, you know, that binge eating and then the purging, and it does, it's vicious, and they feel guilty and there's shame. And you speak about it in a way like you can own it and know that that was something that you had to go through in order to get you to where you are today, which is so incredible. And I love that. You also share many other very personal stories on your podcast, the Why She Whistles podcast. And I would encourage others to go and listen to those, because when we were talking about, okay, what should we talk about today? It was like, well, you said so many things, but I got to dial it in. So we're, you know, in this physical health component has really been the center for a lot of the conversation at the beginning here in these first few episodes of the Live Your Raw Life podcast. So I think that this is a great place to kind of open up that door of eating disorders and kind of, you know, dealing with that and seeing that there are alternatives, yes, that they're, you know, probably stemming from the root of those eating disorders are probably stemming from very deep trauma, and that creates anxiety and depression. And the Western way is, here is the pill, mm-hmm. that quick fix. Mm-hmm. And you have had the ability to say, I don't want the quick fix, mm-hmm. which is scary, because the alternative is the heavy, the hard, the dirty work to get to some of that root, you know, that root trauma, that root issues that are creating that. Do you want to chat about that a little bit?
I do. Oh my goodness. So once I started on my health journey, I decided to become vegan. So I was vegan for 6 months my senior year. And this was like in the middle of, I had noticed that I started to have an eating disorder, and I was all, so there was the contrast of like, I knew that there was something disordered about my eating and that I was masking stress and doing it with comfort food. And so then I was on this opposite scale of trying to be, figure out my own health. And so I did a lot of research and into the plant-based world, which I love and still stick with most of the time, about 90% of the time. But what I learned was that I also had a lot of shame around taking care of. It was like shameful to almost try to up-level out of that community, mm-hmm. or like up-level your health, because then people are like, oh, well, what I'm doing isn't good enough. So when I became mm-hmm. vegan in high school, it was like a joke. Like, it was a fucking joke. And people were constantly picking on me and like, oh, how do you get your protein and all those questions. And
you didn't fit in their box.
I didn't fit in the box.
Yeah.
And so I was this mysterious, weird, woo-woo girl that's like trying to be plant-based and stuff. So once I moved into college, that went away. It was more party and the heavy fast food and stuff. And so that was where I tanked again. And so the eating disorder came from late nights of partying, binge drinking, binge eating, and then knowing how to get rid of it, and that was a cycle that continued for a long time. It took me getting out of that town completely in order to pick a new identity, almost, which is interesting. The podcast that I was listening to this morning was Dr. Joe Dispenza talking about how when you decide to up-level your life, you can't still be the person that you are. Like, you have to create an entirely different personality, and you have to create these new habits and these new ways of being. And so Why She Whistles just, like, clicked like that. So I moved to Duluth, and this was 4 years ago now. I moved to Duluth. I was a CNA on the cardiac unit. I was about to go to nursing school. Loved science, absolutely loved medicine. Thought I was going to be a registered nurse because I wanted to help people and heal people. And I love connecting with people. And so I was a CNA. I was walking down the hallway with a laundry bag over my shoulder, just whistling, having the best day, feeling good, feeling right. And I was just thinking about, like, oh, this is why she whistles. This is, she's happier, she's healthier, she's in a new community that's more accepting and found her people. And just, like, I felt so much better. And it was like that aha moment of, this is why she whistles. Like, this is what it's like to be happy. So I just got to vibe with that, and, like, Why She Whistles became my personality, and, like, I got to absorb this new positive energy and build it and build the people up around me. And now that they know me as that, it's, like, not weird. It's just my life to be positive, and just my life to, like, now that I have been on the other side of the eating disorders and the anxiety and the depression, I've gotten to go through the thick of it so I can understand it. I can understand the hard mindset that you have to go through, and the really dark days, and the really shitty, like, inner shadow self that can develop eating disorders and keep them hidden for years and years. But now that I've gone through that, it's like you have to go through your lessons and your trials in order to be the healer on the other side. It's like that story about the medicine man going through his trials of, like, are you tough enough for this? Are you going to be able to help another person? Well, first you have to learn how to help yourself. And so that was my journey to self realization, and that came from a shit ton of journaling, so much shadow work. I love to spend time alone, so it's a lot of, like, what are my thoughts like when I'm alone? What does my mindset just default to? And so that's a lot of where the work comes from, where it came from, the roots, like you're talking about.
I want to thank you for bringing up Dr. Joe Dispenza. I brought him up numerous times on the podcast, and he just really is a huge inspiration for a lot of people, and has such a beautiful message of that. The minute we change our, and even if it's one thought, the minute we change that one thought, the neural circuitry in our brain automatically shifts, and we create these new circuits that create this new thought, that create this new emotion, that creates this new experience, and it just keeps evolving, and then eventually that becomes part of who we are. And so when we can change, like, you talk a lot about flipping the script, and that is what he's talking about as well, is you can say, I'm just going to use this as an example, like, I don't have enough money, where if you say, I have this, it doesn't fit in the budget today, or I'm going to save for that, or, you know, just, it's just changing the wording of your everyday statements. And that's really powerful stuff. And it's funny that you say, you know, you left your community. You went to Duluth, Minnesota, which is an amazing place. Love Duluth and the North Shore. But a lot of times I think I see what happens in people's lives is they get stuck in a cycle and they think, fuck it, I'm going to move. I'm going to get out of this place and I'm going to move. Well, one thing that I don't think they realize when they do that is when they move, their shit comes with them. I mean, literally and figuratively, like all of their belongings are coming with them, but also all the baggage that they are carrying. And you saw this as an opportunity, and I can totally relate. Like, you see this as an opportunity, like, I feel held and supported to really fully demonstrate who I am at my core, but also willing to do the heavy lifting to make it from, you know, it's like that bridge. Like, you crossed over this bridge and there was some scary, sketchy mm-hmm. spots on that bridge where you could have fallen through and you could have, you know, maybe turned around and gone back, but you didn't. And you went through the hard stuff to get over onto the other side to this, like, positive, energetic, like, amazingness that life can be. And I think that's a really important message for people to hear, is that, yes, sometimes a new space can offer this change, but you also have to be willing to do the work for the mm-hmm. change. Yeah. So I love that. Thank you for sharing. So on the Why She Whistles platform and on the website, you have lots of, I mean, there's so much there, and you are now a law of attraction and positivity coach. And I'm just a little curious, I sort of know the story, but I think it would be great for our listeners to kind of hear the background on how, like, where did that coaching inspiration come from? What are some of the things that you've gone through to, like, gain the amazing and vast amount of knowledge? I know a lot of it is in this intuition, which is hard because there's not a degree or, like, a concrete paper certificate. Like, your intuition has guided you well. Yeah. You get this diploma. But you have gone through a wide range of trainings, and that has allowed a lot of information, I think, and knowledge to come your way. So could you just share a little bit about where what you've been through to get there?
Totally. So after I learned that I would not be as good of a registered nurse as I would have, like, you know, it wasn't my path. I found Joyful Belly School of Ayurveda, which I was listening to the Highest Self podcast, Sahara Rose, and she just has been teaching about Ayurveda in a very modern way. And so that's where I started to learn about my own doshas and the elements that your body carries. And so we each have all of the elements: water, earth, fire, air, ether. And I learned that I have a more earthy quality to myself, and that makes me crave food. And so it's like a comfort thing. And once I learned that, oh, my dosha naturally, I'm kapha vata, so lots of earth, but also lots of air, which I have a lot of ideas, and that's where my anxiety came from too, because my thoughts can just spin and spin and spin. And so once I realized where those qualities were coming from, and you really get to look at the roots of what's happening with Ayurveda, everything is going back to the root of a disease or dis-ease. And so once I started to learn about Ayurveda, I was hooked. And I joined Joyful Belly School of Ayurveda, and I was in the program for a year, and I learned so much about myself and how I relate to other people, and I learned about other people's energies, and so it helped me be a lot less judgmental of myself and other people in the same way. So I have Ayurveda schooling that has been amazing for just channeling, knowing the different energies that things carry, which has been so cool. It's like something that you know is there, you can feel it, but to have all these Sanskrit words to put to these different energies is like amazing. And I opened my first textbook, and the first chapter was all about the soul, the Atma, and it was like mind-blowing, and this was the information that I had been looking for forever, was like, please, somebody tell me about the ego and the soul and the spirit and the vibration and the chakras and nutrition and mindset and holistic wellness. And so that was like where I got to put holistic wellness into a scientific practice, an ancient practice that I practice every single day. And then as far as where the law of attraction comes in, you know how you just meet people and like it's like they're a catalyst for something. So I met somebody and he handed me the book, The Secret. And he was like, this is how I like live my life. And I was like, okay. So I read the book and everything just clicked. And it was like, yes, your words have energy. Like, we know this. We know. We can feel when you say, I hate you versus I love you. You can feel the weight that each phrase carries. And so I started being really mindful about my language in the same way of talking about money. Like, I don't have money versus this isn't in my budget. Like, in my budget is a much more empowering phrase than I don't have enough. So it was looking at like abundance mindset versus lack mindset. Mm-hmm. And the lack mindset I could see was my hometown, that contrast. And so now I'm in these places where abundance is and health is just prosperity is just vibrant and everywhere. Because I started radiating it, I started attracting it. So I would get these really cool people in my space just because my vibration was changing and what I was attracting was changing. And so I saw my life just completely 180 from the lack mindset and not having enough and not feeling well and just sinking and sitting in that place. Into I create my reality with my words and my thoughts and my actions. TWA, thoughts, words, actions. That's how I remember it. So it started with my thoughts. So like in the morning, I would start off like, I am powerful, I am brave, I am beautiful. And that felt so unnatural at first until it doesn't. Until that point where you're like, oh yeah, I am a badass. Like, I am awesome. I am strong. I am smart. My regular phrase is, I am safe. I am secure. I am sexy, smart, and strong. And that like wraps up everything that I want to be in this neat little mantra package. And the science behind this is there's a part of your brain called the reticular activating system, the RAS, and this creates your pattern filter. So this is where you have all these bits of information coming into your awareness at one time, but not all of them hit your conscious mind. So the RAS is that filter between what you are seeing and what actually hits your awareness. So once you start to notice what your thoughts are, if they're on a negative loop, then your default mode, your brain wants to find the things that are wrong in order to fix it. So you're looking in the mirror, your brain is like, oh, well, that is wrong and that's not right and that doesn't look like the magazine, and so that's your default mode. And when you consciously are able to flip the script and have your mantras ready to go, you are creating those new neuro circuitries and you're creating yourself a new pattern filter. So now you're looking at things in a more positive light. Mm. The RAS, it's like when you get a new vehicle, you see the same vehicle on the road because your brain has this new pattern. So that's what's happening when you pick a mantra for yourself, I am strong. Now your brain is finding the things that align with that, and you're going to be like, oh yeah, I picked up that today, or I got through this mess, or I helped the kids in this way, and your brain is now finding your strength instead of finding your weakness. And that is the power of flipping the script, the power of your language, the power of your thoughts, words, and actions.
And the power of positivity.
The power of positivity.
Yes.
So much good information. Like, it's just, I love when we can have these conversations about the energetic field and the energetic feelings of whether it's food or people or animals or places or things, like that vibe. Vibes are real. And I talked about that way back in episode 11. When I had my husband on the show, you know, you get that feeling like, huh, there is just something about this place that, ooh, makes me maybe a little unsettled, or there is something about this place that I love and I am drawn to. And, you know, when we can bring in that scientific information, I think it really creates like this validity to it. And thank you for sharing all that. That's great. Now, I had the privilege of working with you during your very first Bloom boot camp, and this is something that you had been manifesting, and I know that you were very boisterous about, you know, like, we can manifest, mm-hmm. we can create and develop the things that we are manifesting, we can make them reality and draw them closer to our world. Through a number of practices, and that's a lot of what you teach and what you work with when you work with clients. And one of your goals was to have put on retreats.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit. And that made things very interesting, obviously, for everyone. But for you, which I think is another testament to who you are, you saw it as an opportunity. And I think that's what the message should be too, is that there's opportunity in everything. When you talk about contrast, you know, you grew up in this town. Okay, well, there's an opportunity for you mm-hmm. to witness, mm-hmm. to see what doesn't resonate, to see what resonates with others, and that's okay, and release some of those judgments. But for you, it's like, okay, I got some time. I got time on my hands, and I can create and develop this retreat. And so it was actually a virtual retreat that we did. It was called Bloom Boot Camp, and it was beautiful. There was an enormous amount of essential information that really came through in those 11 days. And I not only learned a lot more about myself being 40 at the time, I learned a lot about myself that I wasn't aware that was kind of like simmering underneath the surface, that because I hadn't boiled up, I wasn't paying any mind to it. And really learning how to flip the script with certain things. I think I was in this place where I was already changing the verbiage and the language that I was using, but not for everything. And so when some things would come up, it's so easy to like slide back in yeah. to those natural habits that have been developed and formed since you were really a child, because we learn all of that from our environment. And just like solidifying, okay, when we do flip the script, this is what I need to say, and giving thanks to people that or situations, you know, that were maybe hurtful or frustrating. And that for a lot of people, you know, when you think that like somebody wronged you and you're going to be grateful for them, mm-hmm. fuck that. Yeah, that's easy. But then the lesson isn't learned. And guess what? That's going to come back again. And so just noticing, saying thank you, being grateful. And that was one of the big things that I walked away with. But there was so much other information that really came into that workshop and that retreat. And One thing that I really loved was seeing your shiny face. You were, it's so funny because when you're on Instagram, which is where the retreat was held, I was in this world of like Zoom land because of work and like, you know, this online meeting with students and parents and teachers and other teachers and whatnot to this Instagram. And so I would get on the live. And you would say, hi, Rachel, and I'd be like, hi. And I would be waving at the camera. I'm like, oh, fuck, she can't see me or hear me. It was so funny.
I love that.
But you were just always like, you shine very, very brightly. And it just was kind of like if I had a bad day or if it was just like, you know, there was a lot happening. Isaac was gone. I was single parenting. While also being a teacher, online, remote PE teacher, which was something super foreign, meetings and helping troubleshoot technology, which is not necessarily my strong suit. So it was, and then on top of that, you know, it was cooking the meals and cleaning and doing all the things. And it was
all the strength teachers.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It was a lot. And, the timing was very well placed. And I can see, you know, quarantine situation or not, as we're making our way into a new reality, into a new world, into a new earth, as we're moving through, you know, this pandemic and it's not over yet. And, you know, with the racial injustices and the cultural connectedness that's coming, and partly I think I see the start of it, and I think it's evolving more, which I think is so necessary. This is a great time and place for a platform like yours. So with all of that, how can our listeners work with you? Well, find you, first of all, work with you.
Okay, so I want to start with manifestation. So for me, manifestation, this is how I picture it, is your thoughts are like the unmanifested realm. And so that's like crown chakra, like things are up in the air, up in space. And so then they move into our third eye chakra, like our vision appears. And so having that vision is super important. And then into your throat chakra, which is all about choices. And so then you get to choose whether you're bringing this into the world or not. And then into the heart space, so you can really feel it. Like, does this feel right? Is this feeling like my truth, my something that I would love? And then it goes into the solar plexus, which is the power center. And so now you're like working to create this manifestation. So you're putting the law of attraction and action. People think that you can just sit back and, you know, sometimes things happen like that. But I like to put a little action into my law of attraction. So I like to activate the solar plexus. And then down into the sacral chakra. So now it's like creative zone. Like now we're here. We're putting it together. We're like, we have our clay and our hands are shaping that clay. That is our reality. And then into the root chakra. And now it's earth. It's here. It has been manifested. So that's how I picture a manifestation. So it starts very etherically in our thoughts and then our vision. And so I learned that you can put your manifestations into, or you should put them into present tense. So a year ago, actually, I started writing, I create life-changing wellness retreats. I host life-changing wellness retreats over and over every single day. And I pictured having to rent out a space and having, you know, people hugging each other, and that vision is still there. But this manifestation presented itself in a different way. And so you have to be open to co-creating with the universe in like this very dynamic way of like, oh, here's the opportunity. It looks a lot different than what I was picturing, but it's still right here and I'm still going to grab onto it. So that was the virtual retreats. It was like, okay, cue time, challenge accepted. Let's get people into health and wellness. And making holistic wellness accessible is always my mission. So Instagram just seemed like the right place to be. So Bloom Bootcamp was a complete download. I had written Full Flower Moon on my calendar months ago, and I looked at that and it like brain explosion like hit me. That's how my downloads happened, and it was like, you're gonna host a boot camp, Bloom Boot Camp. Okay, perfect. Love the alliteration of Bloom Boot Camp, and it's with the flower moon, and what are we going to talk about? Oh, 11 days of self-love, of course, and just everything, like, flowed so perfectly, and that's the fun part about co-creating with the universe, is it doesn't have to be hard, and that's when you just allow those creations to come. Life tends to be a lot easier. It's like you're moving with the river. So I was just moving with the river of Bloom Bootcamp, and I shared the practices that helped me the most, helped me connect the most. One of those practices for listeners is called In Awe of Your Hands. And so I like to hold awareness of my hands and all the beautiful things that they do in a day, because your hands are an extension of your heart center. So writing, journaling, making a meal, just looking at your hands and how unique they are and your own unique fingerprints, and just like sitting in awe of your hands really helps you also connect to your heart. And so that's where Bloom Bootcamp started. Best part about hosting a virtual retreat is that people come from all over. You can be anywhere. And I absolutely love having to put a time zone on classes, because it's like, oh, this class is in a different time zone than some of the people in this virtual retreat. Like, there was somebody from Japan, and there were three women from Europe in the last one. So that just jazzes me up, and I see this being such a global connection. Like, every time I picture the virtual retreat space, and whenever we're doing a meditation or something where we're like sitting down, I picture this circle, and this circle of all of us getting to virtually link arms. And whenever I'm picturing it, our hearts are like in front of us, like our arms are around, and we're all protecting each other's hearts within this circle. So that's how Bloom Bootcamp feels to me, is this very heart-connected space for self-love and teaching the self-love practices. And so these aren't practices that you have to go to a practitioner or a doctor, or, you know, it's practices that give the power back to yourself. So these are things that you get to take for the rest of your life. And that really mattered to me, is like, these are practices that you can start your day with every day or end your day with. And they cultivate the self-love. And as within, so without, as above, so below. So everything starts within. So if you don't have that self-love bucket filled up, then it's hard to pour it into somebody else. So that was my whole mission, and I see the need for and the desire for holistic health and connection and community so prevalent right now. So that is my whole mission. And I'll also touch on, you asked me about positivity and, like, having this platform. With all of this chaos going on in the world, I like to share the positive things because I think that there are enough. There's a balance between being really authentic and real and open about the challenges that are going on in our life. But I have made it a responsibility for me to just share as much positivity on the Why She Whistles platform as possible. And then when we get into these private spaces with Bloom Bootcamp, we get to break down our walls and be a little bit more vulnerable with ourselves and, like, share the shit. It's like you're opening up your heart, so there's stuff that falls out. So that's the cool part about being in this more intimate space together, is we really get to be more vulnerable and real, as opposed to what you're going to see on my Instagram on a normal day, which is like positivity tips and tricks and just higher vibration stuff. I understand that there is both, and I see the contrast. So everything that I put on Why She Whistles is trying to uplift. Whereas in Bloom Bootcamp, it's like you have full permission to break down. And I've cried many times, like, after a class, just being like, oh my god, this just, like, pulled out another element of me that I just have to journal through now. And so the realness of it is a lot different. It's not curated in the Instagram way.
I get it. I mean, I see, that's one thing about social media that has been a topic of conversation for a long time now, is that people see it as an avenue of posting these things to present themselves in a certain way, when in reality that may not be what's truly going on in their life. Like, oh, look at that family. They have all these things and they do all this stuff, where the background noise of that is playing out and you can't hear it because it's through this wall. Like, there's this wall in between. And I love when I do stumble upon people on Instagram that are very real and they show all the sides. It's not easy. It's not pretty. I mean, when you see someone crying on there and it's heavy, and you a lot of times can probably relate because that person or that, you know, page came into your field for a reason. And it probably maybe stirs something within your own heart and within your own soul that hits a target. And then that's what's extracted. And I think that that's really what you're talking about, Lexi, is just like when you see that, then, okay, I know I'm aware of it. And now I have to do the work to help myself, you know, move past and get through to the other side of this. Yeah. And I love that when we did have that, I was able to be vulnerable and open with myself, because there was a little bit of a veil. The veil was thin in the space because it was, I mean, you know, there was a closeness felt with the others that were in the group, but I didn't know them, and I didn't have to know them. But I knew that through the whole process, I was still being held and supported, which was really cool to experience. And so that was really fun. I just love it. I'm so damn proud of you. To see, like, this little girl who was 5 chasing me with a snake, or 6, or however old you were, to now, like, just this beautiful person inside and out. And it's just, I'm having conversations with this 23-year-old that I look back and I think, like, where I was at the age of 23, and it was not here. You know, I'm now 40. It took me this long to kind of catch up to speed with all of this. But so beautiful. I love it. So this kind of brings us to what I really like to ask a lot of my guests that I have on the show as part of the Live Your Raw Life platform. Do you feel like you are living your rich, authentically aligned, wholesome life? And it is a loaded question. It is a big question. And I really am fascinated by a lot of the answers that I get. So where do you feel you are in regards to that? And maybe some epiphanies or like realizations that have come your way.
Okay, so I'm still a 20-some-year-old, you know. I'm like, I go through breakups. I'm like trying to find my place in the world still. It's been fun to just be solo and travel. This has been a new adventure. And I feel like I'm always going to find the adventure. And that's the rich part, right? It's like my life is so abundant. And that's a mindset in itself, is like finding the abundance of like, oh my gosh, like I got to take a hot shower today. This coffee is delicious. Just the little things. So yes, definitely a rich lifestyle, just because I'm constantly finding gratitude in what's around me. And in the contrast of like, I love being a dumbass 23-year-old sometimes. Like, I'm this old soul, like a 80-year-old wise woman, but also I'm just, you know, an irresponsible 23-year-old. So that's fun. Authentically aligned. Now I'm stepping more into this role where I see myself, I've always seen myself as a mystic, a modern mystic, but now I'm finally stepping into that role of like, I can read tarot like nobody's business. I can work with pendulums. I can read people's energy, and I have visions, and I have a 24/7 communication with the universe that I'm finally sharing. It's all been in my inner world, and now I'm finally figuring out how to like present it to the outer world. And so that's where I'm that's where I'm becoming more authentically aligned. Wholesome is, yes, definitely. I definitely feel, I guess wholesome to me means like well-rounded. Mm-hmm. So I also this year started connecting more with my family. This has been a new journey of, I had a breakup, moved out of the house, moved out of Duluth, moved in with my great aunt, and now I'm back in my hometown space where I'm reconnecting with my family and really seeing where my roots come from, and also seeing that I have this whole system of support, a very wholesome system of support. So I feel wholesome in the way where I'm connected. Mm. And I'm connected to my family, I'm connected to the earth, and I'm connected to spirit, I'm connected to my intuition, I'm connected to my spirit guides and my ancestors, and like I feel that whole connection. Wholesome, I feel like the opposite of wholesome for me would be if I felt so alone, if I felt so individual, and it like it was my whole weight, the whole world was like mine to carry, like I have all the weight on my shoulders. And now I'm realizing this year, my whole journey, my whole I feel like my learning lesson this year is like returning to your roots, returning inward, and seeing that support system that you always have. Now that the world is kind of breaking down this weird, our old normal, we're turning back to our support system. And knowing that I have that support system, knowing that, learning that in my 20s, is setting me up for like the most epic life ever.
Totally, for sure.
So yes, I am living my raw life.
Yes. Fuck yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so beautifully put, and that's really like the basis of why I came up with rich, authentically aligned, wholesome. And when you say like this ability to read other people's energy, I really want this to be a very clear message, because some people can get a little, I think, like, ooh, you know, like it can be a little.
Ooh, she's reading me.
What is she thinking? What is she? Yeah, it can be a little scary, but I can assure every single one of you out there that when you step into her space, whether it is online or if you have the privilege of meeting her in person, that she does not make it known that she's reading your energy. And it is not ever, like, she never displays that anything is coming from a judgmental stance. For her, it is clear that it is simply awareness, so that she can understand how to vibe and jive with you on like where there's going to be connections. She's shared many stories on some of our walks and outings, you know, since she's been here. Like, I'll notice that this person is this type of, like, their dosha is this, that, or the other thing. And so I know that this person is like this. And then that way it gives her an opportunity to create a connection with you so that you do feel safe, and that you can just, like, even go beyond that, like, just hang out. She's not like this, have a seat, let me look into my crystal ball. It's very, very sweet and special. It's a very special gift that Lexi has, and you will see that, I know, in any conversation that you have with her or any experience that you have, you know, within her field, for sure. So I think that is really important to highlight of you. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners as we wrap up today? I know that as we're sitting here, I'm like, ooh, I remember that time she told this story. Ooh, and then there's that. So I feel like you're definitely going to be a repeat guest. But before we end today, like, we really touched home on a number of things, but all really kind of starting and springboarding from this place of, you know, where you were. And I think it's clear for people to see, like, where you are and a lot of the in between. You know, eating disorders is not something to ignore. I feel, and it's men and women, and it can start so young. I mean, I hear kindergartners at the schools that I've taught at talk about how, like, ooh, I can't eat that, or you shouldn't eat this. And it's like, you are in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Why is this starting so young? And it's this environment a lot of times that they're raised in. It's the options and the opportunities, or sometimes the lack thereof. It's, you know, misconceptions and myths, and then also too, it can be part of this control factor where food and eating a lot of times is something that we have control over. If maybe your parents prepare the food for you that's on the table, you can control how much you take in. You can control what you then do with that food. And that comes from a very deep place. And so I think it really is important to have that conversation. And I'm not an expert by any means. I think it would be safe to say that eating disorders and having that body dysmorphia, which is this, you know, what you see in the mirror is not what is real. I think it's prevalent for many people without even being aware that that's what it is. And I know that for me personally, like, sometimes that's where my judgments come from, is because I'm judging myself on, you know, when I look in the mirror, well, I also was raised in this community where you're not bold in saying I am beautiful. You are always downplaying and stuffing those things that you maybe feel good about yourself in a positive way. Where I think here, as you're hearing, like, the message is flipping that script of I am beautiful enough and I love myself enough to treat my body with such respect. So kind of with that, anything else that you would want our listeners to hear before we wrap up?
The first thing I want to say is that your alone time is like sacred time. It's like nobody else is watching, nobody else is judging, it's just you and yourself and spirit. And so that time is so sacred. And once I started treating it like that, instead of just like feeling like I was alone, once I took that sacred time to write out my thoughts or just look at myself in the mirror, like, mirror work is crazy. If you start mirror work, you're gonna get deep. Like, if you can just, even like when you're brushing, okay, here's another practice. When you're brushing your teeth morning and night, just like look your own eyes in the mirror for as long as you can. And at first you can just sit with the awareness of your thoughts. Just like, what am I thinking now? Does this feel weird to just look at myself? Does it feel weird to like stare at my own image? Or, you know, what is my image? What's popping up for me when I'm looking at myself? And then once you're aware of that, you can either capitalize on it if it's good stuff, or if it's not so good stuff, you can pick your own mantra. For me, it's, you know, something along the lines of, I am powerful, I am passionate, I am beautiful. Just my mantra this year has been, I am healthy, I am wealthy. And so having a focus point, having a landing point, so when your inner critic goes ham on you, you can just be the witnesser. You're just the observer observing. And so you can shift that then, once you have awareness of your thoughts. And know that you are not your thoughts. You are the observer. So you have the power to come in and, like, paint the new picture. And that's the cool part. And my second part is that nutrition and how you treat your own body is so, so, so individual. And so it's like you're creating your own curriculum for yourself. Like, you have to take yourself to school and learn what works best for you. So what works best for me was learning about myself. And the more knowledge that I got of myself, the more information I had to work with. And then a lot of the learning lessons came from that. So, like, I know that I'm a Pisces sun, Scorpio rising, Leo moon, and that gives me, like, this whole world of knowledge in itself. So each bit of information that you get about yourself is, like, this whole new world that you get to work with. And then once I learned I was Vata Kapha, Kapha Vata, I learned how the elements work with my body and how the elements that I was putting in my body mattered as far as food-wise. And I also know for myself that I have to have a long-term vision. So thinking instead about just, like, what am I doing for myself this week, I have this huge vision for my life. Like, I put my life in 100-year span. And so I see that full picture. So instead of just
these quick little fixes. It has to be long term. So what's going to be sustainable for me is 90-10. So 90% of the time I have control over my meals and eating plant-based, and then 10% of that time I get to be a human being. And if somebody makes me a bomb-ass meal, I'm going to have it because it's like 10% of my life. I want full flexibility. I want full fun, full pleasure, full experience. 90% of the rest of the time, I'm in control, and that makes me feel super good. But having this full scope of my life instead of just like, this month I'm going to lose, like I don't even step on a scale anymore because it's about how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I want to feel good for as long as possible. I want to feel good for my whole life. So check in with how you're feeling, because that is the tool of you can realize what you're attracting based on how you're feeling. Mm.
Love it. Yay. That is a great message, I think, to wrap up today. And I love that you talk about that you don't step on a scale because it is about how you feel. For most of us, we've probably all have stepped on a scale, and we know what number represents a feeling that we've been with. And I know, like, when we come out of hibernation, maybe in the winter, like a bear, we put on a little bit, but that's because it's necessary, because our body has to use that extra energy to sustain us when we're in the cold. And yes, it's different now in today's reality with furnaces and everything, but the nights get longer, the days get shorter, and so you're inside more, and that just naturally happens. And then summer hits and you're like, you know, this summer body, yes, it's a thing, but it depends on, I think, the mindset that you have around that. Like, and that's really important. I know I can relate to that too. Like, I now know how I feel, and sometimes I just need that little extra validation. Like, this is how I feel. Like, this happened this morning, actually. Like, I woke up and I'm like, wow, I feel good. Like, I feel like I'm in this good place. Even though maybe I've been dabbling in that 10%, like I'm going to have a little snack that I wouldn't normally get. Like I bought some of these yummy Trader Joe's gluten-free cupcakes that Lexi and I have been sharing. And they're so good. But then, you know, those thoughts are really hard sometimes. You know, that inner critic is hard to get rid of. And by saying, you know, oh, but what I've done in my mind through this last week since we've had them, those cupcakes in the house, is I'm savoring and allowing myself to enjoy the pleasure of that, as opposed to tasting the pleasure and then having guilt and shame behind it. And that I notice is making a difference. So this morning, I digress, I'm sorry, but to get back to really draw context to, I woke up this morning thinking, wow, like I feel really good. And I stepped on the scale. Well, sure shit. The number that's on the scale correlates with how and when I feel good. Not the number makes me feel good. It was that initial I woke up in my body. I felt healthy. I felt strong. I felt like very refreshed, you know, new morning. And I felt like this is the point of where I get in my physical body, in my physical self, where I feel good. Mm-hmm. And the numbers don't fucking matter. But I used to turn it around where, ooh, that number is this, so yes, I feel good now. Yeah. But switching that, I think, is really important. Genius. Yeah, yeah. So I love that, and just, you know, some real life experience that can tie that in. So thank you. So one last thing before we like wrap up today, where can the listeners of the Live Your Raw Life podcast find you?
Okay, you can find the Why She Whistles podcast on all your favorite podcast platforms. You can find me at Why She Whistles on Instagram, And whyshewhistles.com is my website where I keep more vulnerable blog posts and stuff like that, little law of attraction tips, and more information to connect with coaching with me. Since we're all in the virtual space, I host Zoom coaching meetings, and so we can connect one-on-one, and I would love to connect with any of your listeners in one-on-one coaching or wherever the next creative journey comes. I think Rachel will have to do some collabing on health and wellness creations. So
totally.
Yes, that's where you can connect with me.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you. And I know that if you feel pulled, there's a reason. And Lexi's energy is very magnetic. It's very influential. And it's all coming from this positive space that is going to leave you feeling very excited and elated. And I encourage you all to definitely check her out. I'm going to include all of her links in today's show notes.
Yay!
Heal yourself, heal the world. It's always an adventure. Adventure awaits. If something in this episode resonated with you, please subscribe to the Live Your Raw Life podcast so you can be alerted when new episodes drop. And please leave a review while you are there. I will be back with you next week, Thursday, sending light, love, and positive energy your way. We will see you next week.